Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Lynn and Xander talking about the legendary Tush Push this morning. And I almost vomited for the final time because it's so unbecoming. If you've ever strapped an NFL helmet on, which you see some of them ones up there, I still got to get my Lions one. You're talking about pushing and tushing and this is so unbecoming, man. Honest to God. What are we talking about here? Hopscotch? This will be the 89th draft in NFL history in 21 days from tonight. And you're talking tush push. Okay. Hey, I get it. He's not wrong. You're tuning on any show right now. That's all you have. It's so beneath me now. That conversation is beneath me. It is. But I'll tell you one that ain't. Xander was trying to tell me the other day about my boy Joshy Poo in Milton. Well, I added it up. 4 games. 6 dudes. Had 76 tackles. 6 sacks. And 8 TFLs. And you think you have the guy in Uche Kuche and the best Jamaican bobsled team and guys' names I've ever seen as a collection of dudes that's going to replace 80 tackles, 6 sacks, and 8 TFLs in only 4 games. Isaiah Rogers, Oren Burks, Milton Williams, Josh Sweat, Gardner Johnson, and Darius Slay. Man. So let's ask my boy here. Without further ado, let's bring him in. The co-host of Birds 365, Big Z.
What's up, Big Sales? How you doing, brother?
How are you doing? Okay, I'm going to need a piece of paper for your ass today.
All right.
Hold on here. And now look, I think you and me are on the same page with one thing here, that Nick should be paid great money. But I'll ask you the most important question, my young friend. Do you believe the owner and the general manager believe that Nick is the most instrumental thing in what has made that team win by making him the highest paid head coach in the league? Do you believe they believe that he's the most important to Andy Reid, to a Sean Payton, who are actually building cultures in there because they need to. Andy, Kansas City didn't do shit for 47 years before Andy showed up. Shit, you didn't either. And Philly, I think he lands on $16 million, making him north of Kyle Shanahan and Mike
Tomlin. That's pretty good. I mean,
I think he's somewhere in there. Where do you fall on this?
Well, look, I don't think they're going to pay him based on what you just said. They didn't do that with Jalen Hurts. They didn't do that with A.J. Brown. They didn't do that with anybody else. All right. So the one thing about the Eagles that I've said is they've been at the forefront of every financial milestone this league has had for the last 10 years. They paid Carson Wentz the top paid deal after one good year from Carson Wentz and coming off an injury. They paid Jalen Hurts after one good year, the highest paid player in NFL history. They paid A.J. Brown, the highest paid wide receiver in NFL history. Jalen Carter will be the highest paid defensive tackle. Nick Sirianni, the reason I said $21 million isn't because I think he's better than Andy, isn't because I think he's better than McVay, isn't because I think he's the number one reason for success. It's because I think that's the way the Eagles do business. And I wouldn't surprise me. Now, coaching is a little different, right? Because the players' contracts are largely structured. Even when the cap goes up, a lot of times a quarterback will make a set percentage of the salary cap. You know, people don't always look at it like that, but that's kind of how it works. Like, you know, 13% might be the quarterback or whatever it would be, you know, with that.
That's those numbers go up every year.
Right. So it's more, it's a little more structured. Coaches, not every deal is reported. You know, you don't hear everything on it. So
I couldn't find GMs. I couldn't find GM salaries. I had a call.
There's nowhere you can find Howie's salary. I mean, you know, how much more?
I heard it's 6.5. I heard he's right near Caserio in Houston.
Yeah, I could see that. That makes sense. But, you know, the reason I think you're going to give it to Nick is how do you not? He went to two Super Bowls in 3 years.
Ask yourself, do you believe that they think that, though, that he's the reason for it?
They don't think that. But again, that's not – I don't think that's going to be what stops them from paying him. I think you're right. I think
Barkley ran for 2105. Barkley ran for 2,005 yards on his sweat and back. Do you think that the ownership – and I know you've answered it. The ownership and the head coach or the GM look at Nick and go, hey, man, we can't get where we are without him. We got to make him the highest paid guy. He built this culture. He built this coaching staff. He's an instrumental in the draft picks, like you see with Andy with Veach in Kansas City, or you see what's going on in Denver right now. I mean, remember something, too, to get Sean Payton in the building. Remember what they had to do? Denver had to give up a first-round pick compensation to get his ass up there. Do you think that they look at him like that? I'm not – get this. You're right. It's warranted you pay him that. But to me, it's we're going to find out what they think of him.
No, I agree with that 100%. I mean – and by the way, $16 million is pretty good. I mean, I wouldn't be upset. I was joking with the people in the chat. They're going to pay him $21 million, and I'm going to laugh at you all because I think they're going to make
him – 16 makes him third.
Yeah, 16 is a pretty good deal, man. I mean, you could even make an argument – look, if you want me to play devil's advocate, I tend to be on Sirianni's side because every time he seems to get criticism, the team just continues to win football games. I know he's not the only reason, but I do think he's a part of that. But if you want to play devil's advocate, you could easily argue for less than this. Mike Tomlin's got 18 years of success, 2 Super Bowl appearances, a Super Bowl win, and tenure. Okay, proven track record over a long period of time. I think he negotiated his deal last year. I think it came in around $16 million. So you could make an argument, hey, has Nick earned that reputation in the league? He hasn't, but that's not how it always works. I mean, you know, you could easily have said when Jalen Hurts got his deal, hey, Jalen's been great. He wasn't better than Mahomes. He wasn't better than Allen. He wasn't better than some of these other guys. Remember, this is pre-Super Bowl, you know. That he got paid $51 million a year. So I just think it's the way they do business. But I don't know. You are talking about a lot of money for a coach. You know, maybe
3 years, $50 million is what we're talking here.
Yeah, that's heavy for a coach, man. That's heavy for a coach. It's crazy how big the salaries are getting for everybody. But that's heavy. So it's going to be somewhere in that range. Yeah. We'll see.
You want to hear something crazy? That money that I just mentioned, 3 years, $50 million, that makes you 8th. In the college football rankings on highest paid college football coaches. Just to show you how expensive coaching is today at both levels.
Right.
Dude, they're the 27th highest paid coach in the college football ranks makes $12
million. Yeah, true.
So, all right.
So, wait, don't you think that changes the deals a little bit, though? Like, think about how much money college coaches are making. So options become more when you're the cream of the crop.
That's why they're raising, right?
Sirianni's the cream of the crop right now because he's coming off a Super Bowl. You know that aura is still there on him, so he's got more options than most coaches do. I wonder if that plays into it. But the other thing is, the Eagles can go to him and say, "Okay, Nick, you don't want to take our deal? Go ahead, leave. Let's see how successful you are with a new roster. Let's see how successful you are in a new city with a new owner with a new GM. Let's see." So they have some leverage too. It's going to be an interesting thing to do. And that's why I think you're right. It's going to show you how much they like Nick.
Is it 3 or 5 years? Because I think that'll tell us a little more.
I think it's 5. I think most coaching contracts are 5. And I think coming off a Super Bowl, it's a lot easier to stroke the 5-year deal. You know, 3 would be maybe if
it's almost 90 million.
I think three would make sense if he lost the Super Bowl this year. And you're like, all right, you've shown me a lot. You've been to two Super Bowls, but we got to get this thing done. I could see three there. But with the win, I think that gets him those extra two years.
I think it's three at 50. I think because they don't want to be tied. I think if they go three at 50, I think they're going to let you know, we really respect the job that you've done. Job well done. Here's 3 years. We don't want to get too
it might be three. Remember last year, last deal Howie signed was three.
Yep.
Because he was not lined up with Nick.
That's right.
And then he lined him up by giving him a three-year deal. But I'm going five.
You're going five. Okay.
I'm going five because I think continuity when you have success is meaningful. Like you don't need to change when you have success. Why would I change the National Football Show when the National Football Show has a lot of success? No, you double down on it. Why would you change out the coach or the GM after 3 years when you've had this level of success? I don't think it makes sense, so I'm going five.
Maybe what he does is he ties it how long he's going to remain running the organization. I mean, Lori's 70 now, right?
73.
He's 73. That'll make him 78 years old. After 5 years,
and then
they all bow out together.
And then in comes Julian, and Julian says goodbye. Let's bring in our people. We got some analytics.
Doesn't it make sense? 5 years you give Howie, 5 years you give Nick. He's 78 years old. He bows out. They all bow out together, and young Julian Lennon gets the Julian Lennon Laurie gets the team, and he gets to take the band himself.
I rue the day, Sills, when we have a coach in Philly that's not a football guy. It's coming. We're going to have an analytic guy soon. You're going to have a suit-looking dude soon. I promise you we will. Might not be for 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, but we'll have him soon.
Mike McDaniels is coming to coach the Eagles? Somebody like that?
Oh, God. I don't know what. He's like a hipster stat guy.
Any guy that drives a car that's called Cube. I don't know.
What's that?
It's like one of those little tiny cars that looks like a cube. You could plug it into your lighter.
Is that like a story? I've never seen this.
No, it's like one of the little cube cars, CUBE. It's like built like a little box, and you could plug it into your lighter in your car. I mean, it's like that's what he drives. It's like the little cube car.
He's not driving a Nissan Cube, is he?
Yeah, that's what he drives. And he shows up with a Hello Kitty bag on his back.
He's a little goofy for me. I mean, I'm one of those people that I like differences in people. I think people who are quirky are interesting. I'm more interested in quirky people than a run of the mill guy. Like you said the other day, I don't want to be the best. I want to be unique. I love that. I love that about you because that's exactly how I feel too. I want to be unique. I'm not interested in make, oh, you crown me, but I want you to know I'm different than other people in my own way. So Sirianni has that a little bit. Mike McDaniel really has that. But hey, I'm not hating on it. I'm hating on McDaniel because he's not successful.
I'm just, like I said, I don't care about the money either. Xander, I mean, if you're looking at it from 35,000 feet, a 740 win percentage, Jesus Christ, man, what are we talking about here? Yeah. And two Super Bowl appearances in 3 years. On the optics of it, you pay him the most. But at the end of the day, you look at him and you go, hang on here, man. That organization doesn't look at head coaches like that. They look at them as part of the process, don't you think?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and look, the Eagles are right about that, too. Right. Like, let's be clear.
They have been.
I just said, right. I mean, you know, they have leverage in this because they're going to be like, all right, Nick, like, let's see what you like. If you really want to walk out of this organization because you want an extra $5 million, all right, be my guest. Let's see how you do in the open market. Right. I mean, and they're going to win that bout. So,
grass ain't greener.
What's that?
Grass ain't greener.
No, it's not greener. There's no way.
All right.
Maybe you're right. Maybe $16 million where it comes. I'm still going to take 21.
All right. How about this here now? Folks, follow along with Big Sills here. 14 tackles. 14 for CJ Gardner-Johnson.
Oh, God.
25 for Oren Burke. Tackle for loss. Sack. Josh Sweat. 13 tackles. 2.5 sacks. 3 TFLs. Milton Williams, 8 tackles, 2 sacks. Isaiah Rogers, 10 tackles, one pass deflection. Those six players have accounted for 76 tackles in four playoff games with six sacks and seven TFLs. You truly believe that you have the personnel that's going to replace 80 tackles, six sacks, in championship playoff football on the defensive side that is currently on the roster right now?
Look at you. I see 70% is already on the team. You got to make up 30%.
I asked you about replacing 80 tackles in four.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
I say 70. What's 70% of 80? 60?
Okay. So you believe that right now on April 3rd, let me get back to my topic over here. Xander Kraus, here it is.
Oh, this.
Do you believe the current roster for the Eagles makes this team as talented as the 2024 Philadelphia Eagle, as Jeffrey Lurie said, one-of-a-kind team? Do you believe that your current roster right now makes them as good as they were a year ago?
No, absolutely not. All right, and I love Jeffrey Lurie's response to this. Well, we were one of the best teams in NFL history last year. It's going to be hard to be better than that. Great response, Jeff. Great response, Jeff. No, you're not going to be as good. And here's the thing that I think, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about this, but from my perspective, wouldn't you approach each year, Sills, as instead of me trying to be as good as I was last year, can you isolate each year and say, this is a new team with new motives, with new goals, with new problems, with new shortcomings, with new locker room camaraderie, with new everything, and just, you got to reset. Obviously, you have players that come back, but I more view it as, I don't know if I want to be exactly what we were last year, because the NFL is not like that, all right? It doesn't work like that. That's why you don't have a lot of repeat winners. In the last 20 years, there's been two Super Bowl repeats, you know, in the last two decades. So it doesn't happen often. Not many have made it back. I think three have made it back and lost the Super Bowl, including the 24 Chiefs, who just lost to yours truly, the Philadelphia Eagles. But I more view it as, how can this team get the most out of who they are this year to be at the top of the league? Now, I know the easy thing to do is to compare it to last year's team, but I do think you're going to fall into a little bit of a trap where you're not going to be that team, man. That team was historic. That team was number one defense in the NFL. That team shut down Mahomes and Reed in the Super Bowl. That team had the best running season in the history of the NFL. Like, if you try and recreate that, all right, congratulations. You're going to come up short every single year, you know, and you're going to leave yourself setting up for failure. So my perspective is more about resetting the for a year. What can you accomplish this year? But where you bring up a good point is, you know, part of the reason you won last year is because you had some of those special talents. You had some of those things that happened. How can you get as close to recreating that as possible? And do you have the guys in the room to do that? Right now, I'd say no. And something that happened yesterday, I was surprised you didn't hit on it. Did you see Vic Fangio was at the Phillies game? And okay. He spoke to John Clark.
NBC Philly.
Yep. And he talked about the losses. And he talked about, you know, well, we got to make do, basically. And I'm going to be on Howie's ass to replace these guys. And when he said that, he said it more from a We haven't done it yet. So, like, I don't know if he likes or dislikes the guys they've signed, but I certainly don't think he's ready to be done. I mean, he talked big about the draft. He said, we got the draft coming up, man. Let's hope we get a couple of guys there. So he's in there. He's talking to Roseman. He wants more, Sills.
I'll tell you what I love about Vic Fangio. He's got low expectations on everything, but coaches for high results. He goes in there thinking, I don't know what Zach Bond is. I don't know who Devin White is. I don't know who Nolan Smith is. I don't know who any of these guys are. And he doesn't put a roof on your – you know what he does do? He puts a floor on what his expectations are, but he doesn't put expectations on players at all. That guy, he just goes in there thinking, okay, we're starting at ground zero here. That's the conversation that I'm taking away just by paraphrasing what you said that he said, and I agree with him 100%. That's, you see, isn't it funny? Vic says it, and he echoes what I say. But yet, somehow, when I say it, it sounds different. I don't know. Everybody, I mean, I don't know how come when I say it, everybody something gets some panties in the body.
Tone. It's something about that cilio tone that you, gets people going.
You brought something up that's really interesting, and because you said about year to year and how you look at and how you should go about building something. Well, let's take a look at that in the era. 2021. I think you're talking about identity. I would say this, 2021, Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni, the identity, in my opinion, of that football team that year was learning. Learning to win. Because it was a completely different thing from 2020. Doug had been wiped out. It was learning to win together between Howie, Nick, the owner, the quarterback, the team, the roster. That was one of the most important years in where you are today because you began the process of learning how to win. 2022, holy cow, kind of in a way caught you off guard. I would say your identity, exceeding expectations. Drafting, coaching, assistants, quarterback, everything. They exceeded expectations. 2023, the identity fell short of standards and what they had set and what they wanted to accomplish. And their standards did not meet what they had set out at the beginning of the year coming off that 22. Because you got to remember, learning to win together.
Yeah.
Exceeding expectations, falling short is 23. 2024, they combined the 21 season, the 22 season, the 23 season, and 2024 was delivering of expectations.
It's a great take by you. It's exactly how it's gone. Now, what's the next step? In my opinion, the next step is the hardest step.
It is maintaining.
Maintain. Right now that you got over the hump, how do you create consistency? Not only consistency, but elite consistency.
Consistency creating in these levels to what you're hitting on. Creating, learning to win together, exceeding expectations, falling short. How many times has Nick said we learned so much from 23 and the years previous? Fulfilling expectations. You're right. What's this 2025 team going to be? Maintaining success?
Right.
Exceeding expectations again?
Or?
You know what? How about this, Xander? You may win 12 games. You may get to the Super Bowl. You could lose. You could lose in the NFC title game. Don't you feel if you get into that Final Four with what you and how much you have lost and how much is to come still, don't you think they're still fulfilling prophecy that this is the team that's building for continuity and consistent success. And the players that go out and play for us, we're not going to fall short like 23 again. I'm going to be curious to know what the identity of the 2025 team is going to be with all the losses on the team.
I don't think anything you said there is wrong. I mean, I think everybody, whether it's football or your own life or your own career, I mean, you go through different phases of life that teach you different things depending on where you go or what you're trying to accomplish. So the inevitable truth is there will be a theme on the year. You know, will it be they learned how to maintain? Will it be they fell back a little bit because they didn't maintain properly? Will it be they figured out how to exceed what they created? I mean, there's a lot of different ways it could go, but they certainly have an uphill battle. I mean, repeating as champions is a hard thing to do. It's a very hard thing to do. It's unlikely. Even if they signed back Milton Williams-Sills and signed back Josh Sweat, we'd probably still be sitting here saying, boy, how the hell are they going to it's going to be hard to repeat. That's just the nature of the beast. So you got to prevail. And it's an interesting point. Like what will be the theme this year? What will be the learning point for the team this year? You know, and by the way, you are infusing a lot of young talent. I know that the young talent you have now, I feel good about because I think they've experienced more than most young players do. I mean, even some of the college guys, I mean, some of the Georgia guys, Bama guys, these dudes, I know it's not the same, but you know, winning championship football, that's a mindset in a way. That's a lifestyle. That's a culture, and they have that. And now you've brought in Quinion, you've brought in Cooper, you've brought in Moore with Jomo, you've brought in other young guys, Jalix Hunt, that have that as well. How do you maintain that now? How do you infuse that into the new additions on the team? You're bringing in Adoree Jackson. Guy's lost everywhere he's getting. When you're bringing in Josh Uche, now he's got a little bit more winning. You're bringing in Azeez Ojulari. Guys used to lose in 15 games a year in New York. How do you infuse those players with championship DNA?
There's a couple things here with that, what you just said. You know, I tried to explain this and put it in the simplest ways that I could. If you've ever started a new job, how many times you get in your car and before you show up to your first day of work, you drive the route because you don't want to get lost on your first day and right. You don't want to be late. Or when you show up to work, you ask for your first day, where's the bathroom? Where do you get coffee? If people think that guys are going to parachute in from other programs that have been whacked and all of a sudden going to have the same magical thing that happened a year ago, you got a whole different mindset of dudes.
Right.
The chances of all of them doing that, Xander, are so stacked against you. Now, you have the formula, you know the formula, you have gone through the process, because again, 2025, you said it. Is that the year of new faces stepping up? Is that going to be the year of the replacements?
See, I think it's got to be the year of your younger stars becoming superstars. And becoming the guys that, you know, Jalen Carter was
living up to expectations.
I wouldn't even put him in that category.
No,
how about Jalen
living up to expectations, you would say.
Right. And you know what? Even more than that, though, right? Like we're talking about multiple Super Bowls. Okay, Jalen, like the cat's off your back. You already got one. Now you want to be like Brady. Now you want to be like Mahomes. Now you want to be like Joe Montana. Like, how do you win four? That's going to take a different version of you. That's going to take a better version of you. And I don't say that with any disrespect. I think everybody would assume that. So it's him to me. It's AJ. You know, AJ, we won it all last year, and everything was all fine and dandy. But you want to repeat for a championship, we're not going to have time for some of those antics. Now, if it's all the purpose is all to make the team better and to, you know, become your best version of yourself by January, that's all fine and dandy. But I think there was a little bit extra there. How do you get rid of that? Saquon Barkley. Okay, you came here. You were the new guy. Everybody had high expectations. You shattered those expectations. Now what?
Young man, you bring up some good points, and sometimes you just don't continue to expand on them.
I know.
I'm going to bring this one up to you that you just mentioned that was spectacular. When you said Jalen, you said Brady, Aikman, Mahomes. We're no longer talking about Lamar, Allen, Burrow,
yeah.
You're not in that room anymore. You're now fighting to be in a different level. When you mentioned Montana and Brady and Aikman, and you're talking about Hurts, That's rarefied air, dude.
Well, he's not there yet. That's the thing. How does he get there?
That's right. But look at his – Lamar's level is getting there. He's looking to go further.
Right.
You know how – get this. The chances of Lamar and Josh Allen making it to that pinnacle are by far more harder for Jalen Hurts to get into that Aikman, Montana, and Brady room. Do you realize if he improves 1%, that may put him in that room? That 1% will be the most difficult time in his career because now these expectations are not just about winning the game. It's about elevating your resume. It's a different conversation.
It's a different approach entirely. I mean, you know, I think it was Bob in the chat who put it, you know, here it is. And I think this is a good comment here. I mean, you know, it's like the rat chasing the cheese. I mean, or the mouse chasing the cheese. The obstacle when you win is always how do you keep focus when you're chasing a goal? It's in your sight line, right? It's dangling in front of you. When you catch it, finding a focal point is tough. I think that's a good way to look at it, right? What's the new objective for the team? And then how do you keep 53, 70 guys locked in on that? You know, that's where I come. That's where I bring up Jalen Hurts. I mean, Tom Brady, he didn't have to speak, bro. He was slamming his tablet on the sidelines on a throwaway game in week 6, you know, when they're 5-1 because he's pissed off that they're not achieving the level of success he wanted. You know, that's a different caliber of player, of goal, of upside, of, you know, pinnacle. It's a new pinnacle. How do you reach it? And I think Jalen will, but what's the learning curve to get there? Right. I mean, he might have to experience that a little bit.
And something else I'm going to bring up here that you brought up that I'm going to expand on. The Eagles, why you guys are so comfortable. You know why you're so comfortable? You guys are looking at the process that Philadelphia has instilled in the organization. But you know the one thing that you and all Eagle fans don't put into the conversation, and I'm not saying you, but most people from Eagle Land put into the conversation, Tesla is a great example. Tesla has some of the greatest managers and greatest business acronym people that are in that company because of the owner, on how the owner hires. He hires the best engineers, like with SpaceX, that he possibly can find.
Yeah.
What changes those companies? The environment. Things around the team, the salary cap, how much you're going to pay, players excelling, players not excelling. That's the environment around your business model.
Right.
That's you guys look at the Eagles and say, look at our business model. Jeffrey Lurie talked about it. Your culture is your business model. Look at their blueprint and how they do things, and look at how their outline. And business plan. The Eagles have a business plan like any other business. What changes that? It's the environment around them, the draft, free agency, contracts, excelling, deselling. So that's why when people look at Philly and they look at 2024 and they look at 23, you guys are putting more faith in the process and in the business plan than you are actually on what you're looking at.
Yeah.
And it's been successful to. It's been successful, but I think you still have to go with the trends. Look at what you did in 21. Your defense was ranked 20th. Your defense in 22 was ranked 2nd. Your defense was 28th in 23, and your defense this year was 1st. These pitches up and down are environmental, and what happens to how he does business and how the Eagles – it's a trend, Xander.
Absolutely.
So that's what I look at more and how they do it. I don't look at 1 year and go, well, you're going to, this is kind of what you've done for 4 years. Yeah. You know, you've had themes. Every team had a different identity. Would we not agree since 21?
No. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think one piece of this puzzle that, and I think your puzzle is perfect, but the one piece I'd add would be is personnel. Like when you're going for something that we're not talking about competing with the other 32 teams in the NFL.
No.
Fans need to realize that. We're now talking about
competing with themselves.
Dynasty, doing something that is for the for only the 1% of the 1% of the 1% of the population. And what I mean when I say personnel is you have to all be on board. Not only that, you got to have the right guys in the room. That's why you just brought up some good company examples. You could have a guy in there who's smart. If he's not willing to work, if he's not willing to do what they need you to do, they fire his ass. CJ Gardner-Johnson, and I'm not saying this is the case with him, but I'm using him as an example. Hey, you were a great player in the field, but that all that off-the-field bullshit, that mentality that you have, that approach, that's not going to work. And I'm not saying that's true with him. I'm just using him as an example. But the personnel in the room is going to be important. It's going to be important to have the right guys who are understanding of where you are and where you're trying to go. Because if they don't, every little piece, on most teams, it'll be all right. But when you're trying to accomplish something that 1% of the 1% do, every little detraction is massive. All right, you can put a microscope on it.
Guys, do me a favor, hit the like button. We'll read your super chats. Also, we will have Battle Royale, Mark Holmes, and Philly 500 at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to bring this up to you too, since you just brought that up. John Morgan gave me a line years ago, Xander. I think you'll like it. Never invest in the horse. Invest in the jockey, because the jockey's going to take you home.
Right.
I mean, a great jockey, a great leader, a great businessman, he's going to make the right hires, and they're going to put the right people in. Look at the Eagles have a great example of this. You have a history of it. When you don't put good coordinators, Nick fails. When you don't put good people in proper places of importance, no matter what company it is, you know, when you don't put a good host at a particular place,
right,
that shit's going to fail, or it's not going to be and live up to expectations. You know, one of the things that I've always...
Or if you're not bought in, Sills.
That's right.
That's why I just brought up the personnel thing. You could get the most talented guy in the world. If he ain't bought in, it's not going to work for what you're building.
Let me tell you one thing, and I'll give you a little bit behind the scenes on how I see me and how I've seen my broadcasting career. Do you know that I have to be one of the most cost-effective jobs or hosts in the country? Why? I produce my own show. I get my own guest, and I don't have a partner. Always remember one thing about what I do. Okay? What I do is this. I make it so, Xander, that I become important to people because of all the things, and I sell my show. So to me, I'm just not a host. I have all things around it, and that is caused buying in what you're saying. Playing a 5 technique, playing a 3 technique, maybe being an edge, coming inside and wanting to play. They have players on that team and people in that organization. Would you not agree that Nick Sirianni is 10 times more flexible than what Doug Peterson ever was?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. They're different. They're different personalities.
Wouldn't you say that that's probably the secret to his success? Is that Nick is not going to sit. He's looking to get to yes. Doug was looking to get to his yes.
Yes, I agree with that. Nick is a lot more swayable. Yes, he doesn't have as hard of, you know, roots in the grass, if that makes sense, where he wants it his way. He's definitely, you know, I think he gets that a little bit from the owner. I think the owner does a pretty good job at, you know, being receptive to new ideas. Now, he's got his way, but I think he's been pretty receptive to new stuff. I think Nick is a little bit of the same. I think that's a good comp.
What's your biggest concern before we get to the supers here? What's your biggest concern right now? On April 3rd, let me give you mine here first. Do you think the draft in a move? Here, let me read this to you. I want to read you something here. I was going to save this, but I'll do it with you here. Here's my draft takes. Will the Eagles trade the 32nd pick, in your opinion? These are draft stories heading 21 days, 3 weeks from tonight. Will the Eagles trade the 32nd pick, in your opinion? What do you think the chances of them trading that pick are?
I think it's very high. I'd put it at 70% chance, maybe 80.
Okay. What position will the Eagles take at 32? Biggest need or best player?
It's got to be a combination of the both. I know that's. I know you don't want that answer, but it has to be.
No, but it funnels it down to going like this. This guy may be the best edge, but if he's the eighth best edge, and I've got the second or third best DT,
DT is different. Yeah, I mean, DT, you're taking the DT. But if it's the best safety on the board, what are you doing?
Okay, how about this one? How high would you be willing to have the Eagles trade up? You've got to give something up if you trade up.
You're
going
to have to give up a lot to trade up.
Correct.
You're going to have to give up a lot. I'd say 24, 22. That's even probably high. That's a lot. Like, you're going to have to send a lot.
You're going to have to send a two.
Yeah, maybe even, like, if you want to go top 20, you're sending another one. They're not doing that. So I think that's out of the equation. 25 or 26 might be a better number, Kokorski, but – yeah, that's right around that range.
Okay. Will the Eagles trade the number one pick for a player at the level of an A.J. Brown in the league? Could you see a Eagle trade like they did for a player and sending that to a team? Cincinnati, Trey Hendrickson. I don't believe it because of the money that he wants. But could you see them trading that pick for a top flight player?
I don't. I don't think it works. I don't think they want to spend the asset that way. I don't think they want to pick up a big contract like that. I don't see that at all. I'm gonna put that very low. I don't think they're in a position to do that. That's not where the team is right now.
Will the Eagles draft a quarterback or a wide receiver higher in this draft?
I'm going to say wide receiver because we've talked about some of the changes that might be coming in the coming years. I think they're going to maybe prep for that, a little draft proofing for the future with a wide receiver selection. I think they feel pretty good about the quarterback. You still have Dorian Thompson under for contract now for two more years. You have Tanner McKee. I think they'll take a quarterback, but I think they'll take him late, and I think they'll take a wide receiver first.
Would you trade that 32nd pick for Trayvon Walker?
Ideally, I'd love to say yes because he's worth more than that. But is your team in a position to do that? Think about it. This team needs players. Not only do they need players, they need cheap production right now based on what they have coming. And they've already signaled that with letting guys like CJ Gardner-Johnson, Milton Williams, Josh Sweat walk. So are you going to pick up Trayvon, pick up a $32 million a year contract, and roll? Like the Commanders. Where they are as an organization, that's a move you make. You're trying to get there, right? You're the Eagles. We just talked about maintaining. I don't think that's the best way to maintain, and I don't think the organization believes that's the best way to maintain. So I'm going to say no.
See, to me, it's DT down there because you would get three guys working off of a rookie contract, and if you give up the fifth-year option or take the fifth-year option on Jordan, you get him two more years. And you got three dudes cost-effectively with high talent playing on rookie contracts in your defensive line, and you could slide Nolan out to the three technique and keep Mauro Jomo, in my opinion, as the swing guy. I think they think of him that way. I think he's going to be given an opportunity to start, but I think his role of being a swing tackle and putting Nolan out there to replace Milton, I think he could play that. I think he's got good feet. Let me go here. How high are you going to go in the draft to replace Dallas Goedert?
It's a good one. I mean, I think that first pick is the catalyst for this, right? Like if you stay put at 32, you're probably looking at, I'd say, third round for tight end. If you trade back, I could see them using a second because remember, you're going to have your second at 64. You're going to have another second from your trade back, and then you'll probably pick up an additional fifth to drop from 32 to, let's say, 40 or wherever you would drop to. Now you have 40, 64, and an extra pick. I could see them going tight end and that's with that second round pick if they did that. Now, if they really love somebody, somebody brought it up this morning. I think it was Jeff Kerr. If Colston Loveland fell to 32, do you like that player enough? Because I think Tyler Warren is out of the equation.
Yes.
I don't think you have the assets to trade up to get him.
I think he's a top 12 guy.
I think he's out of the equation completely for the Birds. So you're looking at Colston Loveland on down. How high do you value them? That's what it's going to come down to. But I still don't see it.
Could you see them doing this? Sending Goddard to the Chargers for one of those fives. Goddard and one of those fives for the Chargers second round pick. Would you be good for that?
I'd be good for it. The Chargers wouldn't.
The Chargers need a tight end.
I know. So maybe they would, but I don't see it because I don't. I mean, they're talking about a conditional five.
Remember where Loveston's playing. Guess who recruited him?
Yeah, but you're talking about, people are talking about a fifth.
He believes in tight ends. Jim Harbaugh. Okay. I mean.
Are you going to send a number two? They're not going to send that, though. A two?
Maybe a three. Two? No, I'm sending a two and a five.
We send Goddard in a five, you said, right?
Two and a five. I get a second round. I get the Chargers' second round pick.
Maybe
down there in the 20s.
Maybe. I don't see that, but I think the Chargers are a logical landing place for Goddard. I think that's a little rich for what the Eagles would get out of him. I mean, they're talking about a conditional five getting for him. So if you trade him and you send a fifth round pick, you might get back a fourth, maybe a conditional third, maybe. And that would be a future draft. Like, by the way, you're probably not going to be able to trade Goddard before this draft. So any draft pick you're talking about is already next year's draft because the cap just doesn't make sense to move him before the draft. So he's complicated for that reason.
He is. I mean,
that's why any move sells you make in the draft to get a new tight end, you're probably not going to be able to include Goddard in that move.
Again, how high then in the draft are you going to address the tight end position? Are you going to land where I'm at, second round?
I just wonder. I mean,
when you need edge and DT on that side of the ball. Remember,
and if you
got through bitching.
Here's the other thing. Howie's been honest this offseason. Everything he said has kind of come true. All right. In terms of showing you, hey, it's going to look unconventional at first. And then he said something interesting. He said, when we get to the draft, it's going to start to look again like Eagle offseason. So drafting a tight end when you have holes on the defensive line is not Eagle-esque. I know you need a tight end, but I'm sorry, the way this team is built, they'll allow a hole at tight end a lot longer than they'll allow a hole at defensive tackle or defensive end. So that's where I have a hard time going this high on tight end. I know it's a need, but guys, I don't see it over defensive line. I just don't.
You're right. Now, I'll end it on this here with Goddard. Then we'll read the supers here. Please hit the like button. Guys. You know, Xander, let me ask you this, if you're the organization. I mean, you paid Goddard $15 million. He's been hurt every year for the last 5 years. Is it Goddard being a little unreasonable here to not redo his deal for the faith that they have had in him and how much they like him? I mean, if I were the Eagles, I'd be like this. Bro, you're hurt every fucking year. You're always hurt down the stretch. We can't build a game plan around you. You're unreliable, and yet we still pay you.
But to be fair to him, like just from the player's perspective, and you're good at seeing the player's perspective, he's going to say, fuck you. I don't give a shit that you had those problems with me. I got one chance left to make a contract, and you want me to give up $8 million?
No.
Yo, dog, kick rocks, all right? And I can see that. I mean, the guy's got one chance at a big contract left. He's not going to say, hey, maybe your guys are right. Let me take a big pay cut. No, there's other teams out there who are willing to pay him that money, I'm sure. So he's going to bet on that, and I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, excuse me, I forgot myself there for a little bit. I was sounding –
Hopefully we get Holmes in here. Holmes texting me still. Sorry, I'm still with my mom. I'm not sure what he's talking about, but
yeah. It's all good. Don't worry about it. Let's read some of these super chats here.
Yeah, let's do it. I forget. What are our topic before that draft? What were we talking about? I had something. One more thing to say. I'm blanking on it now. I'm pissed. It was a good comment. What were we talking about right before we went to the draft?
We were talking about companies and culture.
Yeah.
About
shit.
How Eagles to say? Were and how again I brought up Tesla and. You know, proper management.
Yeah, shoot. I'm blanking on what I have, but it's all right. Brian Pumper checks in. What's up, Pump? One thing I do know, the off seasons after the Super Bowl are absolutely abysmal. Howie is 0-3. Hopefully this guy didn't fumble again.
I think they're set up different, though, Pump.
Way different.
They're set up different with the younger players this time. If you looked at 17 and 22, look at the guys that left. Javon Hargrave wasn't a homegrown guy. Okay? Kaiser White wasn't a homegrown guy. I know that TJ Edwards was a UDFA and he's kind of a homegrown guy, but they didn't really put the assets and the equity in drafting him or even paying him. He excelled. He overachieved. It was one of the greatest overachievers. And personally, him in Chicago, if you go back and watch him, I'll make this point to you right now about TJ Edwards. I think he's a good player, Xander, but I don't think he's a great player.
No, he's not. He's not versatile enough at that position. He's good at what he does, though. Kyle Kikorski checks in. Sills and Xander, I think Steelers draft Jackson Dart at 21.
I think there's three quarterbacks. There could be. Do you think Jalen Milroe and Jackson Dart could get into the first round?
I mean, you know, you're talking to a Bama guy who told you at the start of the draft process, no freaking way on Jalen Milroe. I watched that guy lose so many games for us. Every big moment, it felt like he shrunk. But people have brought up good thoughts about it. And he's got crazy athleticism. He does have a big arm. Played in a huge conference. Has intangibles that some people like. I think a team's going to take a shot at him. Like, I think Mike Tomlin would look at him and say, all right, let's polish this guy up. I think he could be somebody. You know, I could see that. Now, I wouldn't take him there, but for the sake of the Eagles, we want as many quarterbacks. I've been saying the Eagles should be running propaganda right now, gassing up Jalen Milroe, Jackson Dart, Shedeur Sanders, all of them, because the more quarterbacks that get taken, or if they don't get taken, the more valuable our number 32 overall pick comes, because then someone could trade into it and pick up a quarterback at that spot. So I think you got to be running the propaganda machine. But if it were me, I wouldn't take them. But desperate teams, desperate times call for desperate measures. Wouldn't surprise me if those guys were taking them round one.
So my favorite line so far out of the owners, we're going to get to Philly 500 here in a minute. My favorite line so far out of the owners, out of Howard Roseman, and also out of Jeffrey Loria. Okay, you know what I like? I like emotional intelligence. And the other one, Howie going, you know, we don't really do any business at all whatsoever when it comes to people who have any kind of misconduct.
Yeah, that was fake. Women.
You dropped the contract in front of the agent for Deshaun Watson.
No, but here's the funniest thing about Eagles fans, and I love Eagles fans. I'm one of you, so don't get on my case. All right, they bought that shit hook, line, and sinker. I mean, I saw it over my Twitter feed. Look, that's my GM. I'm like, dude, are you guys dumb? This dude was ready to send the farm for Deshaun Watson a couple of years ago. I mean, come on. All right? What he told you is Mike Green ain't worth it. But if it's Deshaun Watson, it's worth it. Quit buying that bullshit. Come on, man.
Hey, when you win the Super Bowl, bro, you can say anything you want. True. When you're the champ.
Yep. No doubt about it. I think we got all the supers.
All right, man.
Holy, I thought this cow, super was hilarious. Hey, guys, I keep finding old Bone Crusher Cilio pictures in my girl's phone. Come on, JD. That ain't good.
Yeah, don't worry about it, huh? Don't worry about it, Hoss, because if you see Big Sills now, man, don't worry. She'll come running back home to you. How you doing?
Xander, all right, so appreciate you, bro.
Great workup, by the way, okay?
Thank you, man.
You got it. All right. We're going to be waiting on Mark Holmes. Hey, guys, just so you know, Mark Holmes, his pop passed away, and hopefully we're going to be able – he's with his mom now. So I'm still going to kick his ass with his Cowboys. Hey, Mixon was traded for a seventh. Woo! Hey, Cowboy Nation, here you go, baby.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.